I want to start with a word of prayer. Thanks for leading us. Lord Jesus, you are our healer. And every one of us needs ongoing healing. We need the truth. It's your truth that sets free, brings life. We all still believe some lies, holding to something false rather than what is true. We need healing in different ways. Some we recognize, some we don't recognize yet. We need you to touch us and transform us. And we bow before you. Would you teach us, Holy Spirit? Pray in your name. Amen. I know I'm not done already. I just didn't remember my Bible. So it's our last day, last week, on 2 Chronicles 7:14 in the renewal series. But as I've mentioned several times now, I'm certain that just because we walk through different aspects, different phrases out of this verse each week, we're not done with it yet. I still need to come humbly before God and learn more about coming to God humbly. I still need to learn more about prayer and actively pray and to seek His face and to turn from my wicked ways. And then God will hear us from heaven, we spoke about, and forgive our sin and heal their land. And today, this last phrase, and heal their land, will heal their land. I mean, what's it mean to heal the land, right? We think of Jesus walking along, take up your mat and walk. So do you do that to the land? It gets up, starts cruising around. Well, He made us out of dirt, so He could do that too, but that's not really what He's talking about. What does this mean? And we'll look at it more in a context here in a minute, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, right? That's a whole if there with four pieces to it. Understanding our identity, called by my name, humble ourselves. Recognize we don't do it in our own power, but by His. Pray. Pray. Really intentionally seeking God, that intentional dependence on Him. Seek His face, who He is, and turn from our wicked ways. Regular repentance and, yeah, freedom, forgiveness. Receive that. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let's just look at that one word, heal. We all have an idea what it is, healed, healing. Actually, the missionaries that we prayed for today, we call them KMW because they're in a high risk, they're involved in high risk relationships where if word gets out to the wrong people, it could be devastating for someone. But when they were here last, I remember Kay telling some stories of the ministry that they're involved with and supporting and resourcing and networking, doing ministry to Muslims in North Africa. And they have a TV station. And during the broadcast, one of the stories, that he's explaining who Jesus is, and if you need healing, then would you pray that now? And they heard a while later, somebody actually went up, was crying out to Jesus and touched the TV screen, and was instantly healed. God still does that. He's Lord of all. He is the healer. And He does these things. So we have an idea what healing is. But I want to expand our thinking on it. So I looked into it, did some study on it. One of the things Farrell, the author, says, heal or healing, this word used in this verse, I will heal their land, is to make sound or whole. So, right? So, years ago, we were down visiting Beverly's parents. Were we engaged? We were engaged. And I'm down visiting on their farm in Ontario. And I've got a buddy over. And I don't know how it came up, because I used to work for his dad, who was in construction. In fact, we'd worked together some in construction. And then it came up, they were thinking about putting new steps on their back, outside their back door. Well, I went over to it and grabbed it like that and pulled about that hard, pulled it away from the house and crunch. It wasn't very sound. It was a matter of time before one of Beverly's parents would be going up there and it would have went zoop and crunch. So then I went, well, I guess that's the project for today now that I wrecked it. And we built the new back deck that day. It wasn't sound. That's the word sound. It's strong, sufficient to hold what it's intended to hold. That's this word heal, has that aspect to it. It also, to make whole, complete, the way it was supposed to be. So the Old Testament provides incredible background for a Christian understanding of the concept of healing. In the Old Testament, the basic point is made that God is the healer of his people, right? We live in an age where we so much trust in our medical system, whatever else. But interestingly, sometimes when they do this procedure, it turns out this way. And when they do the same procedure, a very different outcome happens, right? There's infections, there's all sorts of things that are out of our hands to a large degree. God is the healer still. And it makes this very clear throughout the Old Testament. We'll get to the New here in a minute. But in Exodus 15, 22, 26, after God has delivered his people, if we go to the next slide there, delivers his people from Egypt. So he heals in multiple ways. He led them through the sea. He sweetened the water at Marah. He speaks of himself as their healer, right? Making them whole, right? They're no longer slaves. They're not having this bitter water. Healing is in many ways. If you will diligently listen, there's another big if. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. So even what we're not inflicted in is a work of God as the healer, our healer. It goes on here, it can refer primarily their physical sustenance, right? We understand, especially in the Old Testament, he often works through this, how he physically provides. But it points to a more encompassing, a full-rounded concept of God sustaining his people in an eternal relationship with himself. There's a picture of this. He's the sustainer, the healer, the one who brings light, sets things whole, makes them sound. In a similar manner, Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, for there is none that can deliver out of my hand." He is the one in control. We've been worshiping him as Almighty God this morning. He's restating some of what we've been singing almost. It implies this healing power derives from the fact that God is God. Right? He's not something he took on and learned. It flows out of his character. This concept of God as healer is actually echoed throughout the Old Testament in the Psalms. I'll just read a little bit of 6:2 and 41:4. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me." Languishing, I don't have enough in me to keep going. I'm weak, I'm droopy. The life is sifted out of me. "O Lord, my bones are troubled. Heal me." We need healing in all sorts of ways. "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Heal me. This is in the context of sin, right? Sin weighs us on weighs on us and robs us of life. Psalm 103, 1-3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases. Like, this word whole, heal, whole, made whole. That's forgiving the brokenness of heart and mind and soul and spirit, as well as extremities and diseases and external things. The New Testament significantly emphasizes Jesus as a healer. Mark portrays him as a teacher and healer in his opening account, the ministry in Capernaum, with the healing of the demoniac. We go to the next slide. There's a few pictures there. Peter's mother-in-law, the sick, brought to him in the evening, and the leper. I mean, Mark just unleashes, really, the way he writes the gospel. Bam, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one. There's so many healings. In fact, if they'd recorded them all, our Bible would be way thicker. Jesus' ministry, as Mark presents in rapid succession, is healing of the paralytic, the man with the withered hand, the multitude by the sea, and the Gerasene demoniac, the woman with a hemorrhage, and Jairus' daughter. Jesus then commissioned the 12. Listen, there's a real transition here in Mark. He commissions the 12 to proclaim repentance, much like John had been doing, to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Why? Why is that part of their mandate as well? Because the kingdom of God was coming in a different way, a new way, the full revelation of God, Jesus, God incarnate in Jesus, was being revealed. And when we're young, we're immature in Christ, we need these tangible, oh, look at what God did. And he's just unleashing a just incredible amount of healings all over the place. Casting out unclean spirits and this daughter and that child and the deaf hear and the dumb can speak. The blind man at Bethsaida, the boy possessed of a spirit, and the blind Bartimaeus. There's all sorts of these stories just tumbling out here. But this doesn't just say heal a person. It says heal their land. Most likely, you know, the water, the sun, I'm going to read it, it actually explains it in our chapter, 2 Chronicles 7. If we look earlier, there's the dedication of the temple, and they're celebrating, praising God, sacrifices, like huge numbers, 120,000 sheep. They're really celebrating what God has done. I'm going to start reading 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their homes, joyful and glad of heart. Listen to why. If I can read it. For the prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. God has answered in such a powerful way. There's peace on every side. There's prosperity. It goes on. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, here's the part of it that ties in with the what, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, what happens to crops when there's no rain? No irrigation. Dead, brown, much like the grass we played on with the soccer camps over at John Davidson School for several years. I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land and eat it, or send pestilence among my people. That's the end of verse 13. So if all these things happen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I'll bring the water it needs. I'll get rid of the pestilence. I'll make it healthy. I'll make it whole. I'll make it sound again so that it can support life and heal it. But it also, it's a picture of looking forward. It's also about relationships, right? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. They're inseparable. And he makes us whole on the inside, on the outside, and in our relationships. That's some of what it means. We'll get into more of that. What did it mean to them? They would know that they're going to be blessed, their land's going to produce. So what does it mean now, this, and I will heal their land? What might it mean now? Or what does it not mean now? Sorry. It does not mean, as it's being preached, this verse is one of the most dominant ones currently south of the border. Very affluent United States being promoted that, well, God will make everything right in the nation of America, in the United States. Or we can pray it up here and he'll make everything right in the land of Canada. No, I don't think that is what this verse is saying. We can't directly apply that, the promise made to the people then, to now that he's going to give us what we need to make this land healthy, right? Get rid of corrupt government and whatever else. I mean, involvement is great. We don't want corruption in government. Godly principles and laws do help everyone. But we do not put our hope and trust and faith in that. It's not the ultimate thing. I'm going to say this a few times. These are good things, promoting laws and life and health in all sorts of ways, being involved politically or in our society. These are good things, but they're not the ultimate thing. We don't impose godly law on ungodly people. Right? That's not the be-all and end-all. It's not a direct correlation to now and policy and political, right? There's an incredible number of professing Christians that if we can just get the right candidate in there, then things will be right. Well, no, it's a problem of the heart. We're still sinful, and that doesn't heal in the bigger picture. And God is much more interested in healing in the big picture, but he is interested in those things as well. It's both and. We will not have a perfect society now, not in Canada, not in China, not in any other nation. We will not have that kind of perfection in the here and now. It doesn't mean we stop working towards it, but we don't work towards it as in a way that this is the way God will heal us. No, it's part of the way. We're concerned with the body, right? There was some false teaching throughout Scripture where the body doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do with the body. It's only about the soul and the spirit. Well, that's a false teaching too. That's a false dichotomy. We do care about the body, right? How can you say, oh, go be blessed and warm, when you notice someone without sufficient clothing? We act in compassion and we give them clothes, and we do it in Christ's name and love, right? But we don't just clothe them. We say, you need life eternal, right? It's both and. We care about the whole person. So I think this verse is being really taken out of context or misapplied to our current day in really unhealthy ways. So what does this end will heal their land? What could this? How should we apply this? What could this mean? Well, it's healing of the whole person. But first we need, as Dr. Miles Monroe says, we need a vision that is more important than your life preservation. Right? He says here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I will heal your land. Well, the people are going to die or go be taken as slaves again unless the land will produce. And it's about preservation. God works through that at times. Right? He gives that kind of blessing. But there's something, there's a bigger picture going on here. And we prayed it at the beginning of the service last week. This is Matthew 6:9-10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? Our verse starts, if my people who are called by my name, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about God's kingdom. Zechariah 4:6 starts to allude to this when it directly says it, but how we understand it, I'm not sure. But then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the spirit is the one. Yes, we have a calling. We are pushed into this. Right? We, just like the disciples, he says, now you go bring healing. You go make things right. You go make them stable, sound, and whole. Right? Minister to the whole person. But not in and of ourselves. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek his face. We turn from our wicked ways. And we move forward, and he hears, he forgives, and he heals. He brings this about. We don't do it, but we partner with him in it. We are the avenue. And we too are sent ones. We are commissioned to set things right, to heal, to make a difference in our world and others' futures, both here and for eternity. And we can't forget about the eternity. Most hospitals have been started by followers of Jesus seeking to meet the needs of people. We don't just meet their physical needs. We have to meet their spiritual as well. We don't just meet their spiritual needs. We've got to meet their physical as well. It's the whole person. When we're immature, we actually need more direct kind of answers from God. We need things to work out. As we mature, we don't need it answered necessarily in our way. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus says. There's a bigger picture, a bigger vision than just self-preservation or ease of life or no pain or whatever else we're trying to get rid of. There's a bigger picture, both for us and those we are ministering to. And we need to understand how to apply this, that he will heal our land. Well, he's going to bring healing through us. We're the sent ones, but it's to the whole person. I mentioned earlier about the person that touched the TV screen and was healed immediately. God still does that. But I think it's also of someone like Johnny Erickson Tata, who through a diving accident wrecked her neck, her spine, and she is paralyzed. And she's got movement of this hand, but she's largely paralyzed. But she would speak of incredible healing in her life that God has brought out. There's a bigger picture. There's more to Johnny than it is that she can just walk around or can't walk around. She can't walk, but there's more to a whole person. She's being made whole in ways that she wouldn't have been had she just been healed and could rock and run around now. And she actually fully, with authenticity and honesty, thanks God that she broke her back. Because she's being made whole in ways that she couldn't be. We often demand God, you need to answer in this way. You need to bring healing in this way. Rather than that bigger picture, what are you up to, God? When I visit somebody in the hospital, I pray for healing. And we've seen it. We've seen God answer right in the immediate. But we've seen him answer in all sorts of ways. There's all sorts of healing that we need. And this verse is opening us up to that. But it starts by humble and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven, heal our land. Ephesians 6, this is the last verse I'm going to read today. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He doesn't want us whole. He doesn't want us healed. He doesn't want you as a minister of healing in our community. So he wants to discourage you, dissuade you. We need to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the heavenly places. Because it's not something we can do on our own. We can't bring healing to ourselves, and we certainly can't bring healing to someone else. Can we help them? Can we care for them? Sure, we can put a coat on them when they're cold. That's a part of it. We can't actually heal the person. That's up to God. It says later, so then there's in this middle part of Ephesians 6 is the description of the armor that we're to put on, and then it says this later in the verse, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication, that is praying to God, for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I often speak. It's both and it needs to be. This is the way Jesus comes. He's full of grace and truth. The way he ministers to people, right? What would you have me do for you? Some people don't want to be healed. Because if they're healed, he says, take up your mat and walk. Now they have a responsibility. Now go produce. Go live life. Go to work every day because you're created to do. No, no, no. I just want to sit here and receive. I don't want to be healed. But some people do, and they don't know that there's a God that can do for them what they can't do for themselves. But we really need to understand this first, that there's a God that wants to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He wants to do through us what we cannot do in another's lives. We need to humble ourselves. We are not enough. We have incredible resources. We think we can do a lot of things. We cannot bring healing. We need ongoing healing in all sorts of ways. And so do the people around us. We need to pray. We've been going on some prayer walks. We're going to do some more when we get back from holidays. Praying that God would do what we cannot do. Would he open people's eyes that they would know they have a spiritual need, that they know they have a need for forgiveness, that he would grow relationships with those in this congregation right around the church. We've been praying for specific people and homes and businesses. God would do what we cannot do. We need to pray. Humble ourselves and pray and seek him. Seek him as he is. Understand who God is, his character. His kingdom flows out of who his character is. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these other things are added as well. Then we'll be filled and whole, made right, or at least on that journey. We have a grad sale this coming summer, Streets Alive. Because we want transformation in people's lives, not just in the short term. Yes, we want that. We want them freed from addiction and able to move out into community and have real meaningful employment. And yes, we praise God for all of that. And we want them, we specifically partner with organizations that get that it's about God that brings healing, both in that sense, the physical, as well as the spiritual and eternal. And it's both and. It's about the kingdom of God. The body is important, and it's not the ultimate. It's not the eternal. It's both and. We care for the body. We love them holistically, the whole person. And we also, like Paul, that we would proclaim Him who is risen. It's Jesus crucified and raised that we preach. He is the healer. So join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we end this verse, and we need to experience You as the healer. The promise for them was heal their land, their source of, it wasn't the source, but unless they had land, they didn't eat. But they recognized, even in the Old Testament, that it's You that brings the rain, it's You that helps the seeds grow. They can plant, they can water to some degree, but You bring the growth. And we need to humble ourselves, God, and pray, and go out boldly as Your ambassadors, because we've been commissioned, like Your disciples, to go and bring wholeness, soundness, healing in other people's lives. And we don't understand for sure the way You want to heal. We might see them and think, well, this is their major way. But would You give us a discernment about what You are up to in their lives and how we can partner with You in that? And would we cry out to You? Have You bring the healing, and not try and do it in and of ourselves, but not shrink back as if we don't have a part to play. God, give us courage to follow You. Be healed ourselves in an ongoing way, and be the agents of healing by the power of Your Spirit. I pray in Your name. Amen.